On today's episode of Brado and Will, we're going to be talking about the Texans briefly, and we have a mailbag episode where we answer all your questions about the Houston Rockets. So stay tuned. It's going to be a fun episode. Back to another episode of the Brado and Will Show. I'm your first host, Will. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Bias Houston. Over there, we do all the content aggregation, safe spaces, whatever you need as far as your Rockets content goes, the Houston content that we brush up to Texans. We got you over there. Pass off to Brad, and we'll get to our guest.
Yeah, I'm your other host, of course, Brado. You can catch me on Instagram and Twitter at Brado NBA. And for the first time, we're actually on our new channel, the Brado and Will Show. We're now independent. So if you're with us, we really appreciate you guys. We're trying to get to 500 subscribers. We're going to give out two tickets to the Rockets preseason game on the 7th against the Raptors. So one of our first 500 subscribers is going to get two tickets to those games. Just subscribe and catch every video that we drop on Monday. But without further ado, I'm going to introduce our guest, Vader, a really good friend of ours on Twitter. So it's good to talk to you, man. How you doing?
I'm great, man. I appreciate y'all having me on. You know, I pretty much talk to y'all every day. So it's like, you know, talking to your bro, your brothers, or like your favorite cousin while you at the cookout. So, you know, it's going to be a vibe today.
There you go. Let the people know where they can find you on social media.
Right now I'm on Twitter, Vader_H-Town. And then I'm also going to be doing stuff with CF Rockets Fuel. I'm probably going to start branching out into some other stuff too, TikTok and Instagram. But right now, you know, Twitter is pretty much where you can find me at.
There you go.
Yeah, I meant to, we'll go ahead and just do it on the podcast. But once again, congratulations on, you know, I saw what you guys are doing with Rockets Field now. So making big moves. But when we start this podcast, I want to very briefly touch on the Texans game that we just got done watching. Why much on a blanker? Who did we play today?
They played the Bears out in Soldier Field.
The Bears, that's right. We played the Bears, and it was quite an interesting game. I'm not going to say no more than that. I'll let the guests go first. I know Vader's a diehard Texans fan, so let us know how you feel, Vader.
First of all, like, I don't want to slander anybody because, like, it's only three games. But I'm not going to lie. I was disappointed a little bit by, like, the fourth quarter. I think the guy on TV said that we've been outscored 30-0 in fourth quarters this year. And, you know, that just can't happen. You know, I feel like that's a reflection on the coaching, the offensive coordinator, the quarterback. I've been a staunch Davis Mills supporter since, you know, since the season started. I've been, like, tweeting stuff in support of Davis Mills. But, like, today gave me a little pause. It definitely made me start I probably pay a little bit more attention to, like, some guys like C.J. Stroud and the guy at Alabama just to, you know, what's his name? Bryce Young.
Yeah.
I drew a blank right quick, but
caps are the best of us.
Yeah, like, the thing is though, I really want Davis Mills to be the quarterback because I feel like we could use that first round pick on something else and fill other needs. And he has 14 games left to prove that it's his position. But, like, so far, it's not looking good. Like, I think we'd be 3-0 right now if we had a little bit better quarterback play. So we'll take it from here. I was encouraged by, like, the play of Jalen Petrie today. Like, he was a beast. He had two interceptions. He had a sack. So, you know, there were some things that I saw that I liked. There was a lot of things that I saw that I didn't like. What about you guys?
Yeah, I'll say this really quickly. Of course, it's good to see Jalen Petrie go out there and get two interceptions, his first two career interceptions and a sack as well. First Texans player in history to do that. So that's encouraging to see from your second-round rookie. Damian Pierce had a lot of carries today, 20 carries. I can't get the exact yardage. I think he had 80 or something, but that was really impressive. He had that one drive, four plays, 41 yard. Gave it to him every single time, and he got the touchdown, so that was good to see. But the rush defense was just awful. I think they gave up 282 yards, which is the third worst in franchise history. So that's never good. They got to stop the run. That's you know, the defense, it's not the reason they're losing these games. But, you know, in the fourth quarter, again, as Vader said, they've been outscored 30-0, 17-0. In that first game, 10-0 in the second game, and 3-0 today. So they got to get the offense moving in the fourth quarter, and that starts with Davis Mills, and he hasn't looked that impressive in the fourth quarter this year or as a whole this entire season. So hopefully he picks it up, and if not, he's going to be replaced very quickly. So that's all I'll say to touch on the Texans today. What about you, Will?
Y'all kind of touched on everything I was going to say, so I'll keep it brief. I think Jalen Petrie was definitely the MVP of today. He was the player of the game. I mean, y'all said it already, the two interceptions, the monster sack. He just does things, even, you know, outside the interception, the sack, he just does things that necessarily may not show up in, like, box scores, but they impact the game. So I've definitely been impressed with him. You know, for we're on week three now, I've been impressed from the last 3 weeks, especially today. He showed out. But, yeah, then there's the Davis Mills conversation. And I was somebody who was really excited to see Davis Mills come out and maybe show the world that he could be the quarterback of the Texans' future. And here we are on week three, and I haven't seen anything to suggest that he could. Like, I'm not saying he has to be perfect. I'm not saying he has to be, you know, Tom Brady in week three, but he didn't even – he doesn't look like he belongs right now. And that's kind of the part that's concerning. The thing that kind of frustrates me as a fan is, like, it's like Vader alluded to, I think if we had any other just competent quarterback, these have been three very winnable games against the Colts, the Broncos, and now the Bears. None of them were, like, super-duper out of control, out of hand. Those were all winnable games. And it came down to, like, the fourth quarter. That's kind of where I feel like as a quarterback, that's when you kind of leave your mark on the game and show the people at home, like, who you are and what you bring to the game is, you know, when it matters the most in the fourth quarter. And, I mean, this is not three straight games where Davis Mills says, looked like he doesn't even belong out there. So, like y'all been saying, I hope he turns it around, because if not, we are going to be replacing him in a couple of weeks now. So,
does anybody else say? It's that if factor, Will. It's the if factor. Yeah. It's like, in the fourth quarter that your quarterback can lead you on a game-winning drive. He's had three opportunities to do that. He's failed three times. And
if he didn't even get close on any of them. It would be different if he was, like, coming up short. He hasn't got close to having a game-winning drive at all.
I'll say this. He had me at one point. It was 3rd and 10. They were backed up, I think, at the other 10's 10-yard line. He had that 3rd and 10. He came out the pocket, came a little bit to the left, and threw a nice ball. And they converted on 3rd and 10. I'm like, okay, they might be cooking with something. And then ended with a punt. You know what I'm saying? So. Yeah, Davis, he got to show me something next
week. Yeah, he lied to me, man. I'm like, okay. But you know what? We have 14 games left. I'm going to be optimistic. Yeah. You know, it's the first three games. Let's be honest. So it's a long season. You know, I've seen the Texans, like, lose, like, their first several games and then go on a win streak. So he still has time to cement himself as the quarterback of the future. But, like, right now, he needs to get in the lab and, you know, something needs to change for sure.
Yeah. Do you guys have anything else Texans related to talk about?
Damian Pierce is RB1. That's pretty much it.
He's RB1 of the future.
He's him.
He's like a bowling ball, man. Like, that dude, man, he as far as, like, getting contact after, I mean, getting yards after the first contact, like, dude is a beast at that. And that's what I look for when we have a running back. I'm looking for that guy that's not going down on that first initial hit, that first initial contact. And Damian Pierce has shown that, like, he can break tackles. He can run through arm tackles. He puts his head down. He's not looking to run out of bounds. I love that.
Yeah, no, he's a bowling ball out there. And I love watching him run every single carry. Even if he's not getting any yards, he's going to make sure he's getting a few out there just because
He punishes the defense. I love it.
Yeah. But outside of that, guys, at the time this episode is going to drop, it's going to be media day. And the Rockets will be playing 6 days from then. So Rockets basketball is almost back. So we have a nice mailbag from the fans and our listeners that gave us a lot of questions to answer. So Will is going to display those, and we're going to give you guys some good answers to those. So I'll pass it on to Will.
All right. So this is the first one. It comes from at Red Glare Pop, which, by the way, follow everybody whose ads come across the screen. If you're listening, make sure you tap in with these guys, show them some love for supporting the show and giving us questions. So first one comes from at Red Glare Pop on Twitter. He says, what would you consider a successful Rocket season? What would be a disappointment? So what we're going to do is we'll let the guests go first. So, Vader, what you think?
So for me, a successful Rocket season is not measured in wins and losses. We get so tied up in wins and losses that we lose the vision. We lose, like, the big picture. There's a big picture here. Like, we are not necessarily going to be making a plan, guys. Like, let's keep it a buck. Like, I want that to happen. I'm hoping that happens. But that is not how I'm going to measure whether or not the season was a success. I'm looking to see, like, I know Silas said at the end of the season last season that he did not fully implement his offense. So I want to know what that looks like. Like, what does your offense really look like, Coach Silas? Because, you know, we don't know. You know, I respect you. I saw what you did in Dallas. You know, you guys had one of the greatest offenses of all time. You did have Luka Doncic. So, you know, I do know you had a little bit of an advantage there. However, you got Jalen Green. Jalen Green is next up. Jalen Green is, you know, in a few years, I think, you know, Jalen Green is probably going to be one of the premier offensive players in the league. So I think he has the pieces there. You have a big in Jabari Smith who can knock down shots from the outside, which is something that he had in Kristaps Porzingis. So as far as how I am going to grade the season, I want to see that we have an offensive identity. And then I also want to see that we have a defensive identity. Like, that's something that we definitely have not had in the last few years. Like, what is our defense? Like, what has it been? It kind of just looks like a bunch of guys out there hooping. So now that we have, you know, like Jayshon Tate is a really good defensive player. We've added Jabari Smith Jr. We've added Tari Eason. Hopefully my boy Garuba can get in the game. You know, I'm a Garuba believer. You know, I've been saying that on Twitter. I believe in Garuba. So I'm thinking, like, we have these pieces. We have Josh Christopher, who is also a good defensive player, or he's shown signs that he can be a good defensive player once he, like, irons out a few of the things that he does incorrectly. So that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for an identity. We need to have an identity as a team. So, like, I don't really care about the wins and losses. You know, if we lose a game and we're competitive and we fight to the end, and, you know, when we just so happen, you know, not to pull it out, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with winning, like, 24 to, you know, 25, 26 games if I see improvement on the court.
Yeah, Vader said the most important thing here. You cannot measure this Rocket season by wins and losses. Again, they have 10 guys that are 22 or younger. So you can't say, hey, man, these guys didn't win 30 games. They suck. No, they're just extremely young. You know, it's hard to win basketball games when you have a young basketball team. So when you look at this Rockets team, you want to measure how they have a successful year. You want to see how these young guys are stepping up to the plate, how they're growing as a group and as a collective. And I just want these guys to be in the best position to succeed. Vader made a great point. That's why I like Vader, because he spits facts. Because he was talking about, you know, Silas came over from Dallas. He had the best offense of all time, statistically. And he comes to Houston, he's said to have babied the offense. And we kind of want to see him unleash the offense, you know. But last year he was trying to make Kevin Porter Jr. his offensive coordinator, as Luka Doncic was and as James Harden was for like 10 games in Houston. So KPJ, I think he's developed a lot in that past year, in his first year at point guard. So I think that's going to help Silas's offense grow. Kevin Porter having another year of point guard under his belt. And I'm interested to see how he's going to implement Şengün, because he's going to be starting, and he's a guy who they can really run the offense through. But, you know, as a collective, successful year, I just want these guys to grow together. I want the offense to look, you know, great as a unit, have an identity, as Vader said, and I want the defense to play a lot better, get rebounds, and they have a lot of guys on defense that could play a lot better this year with the additions of Jabari and Tari and even Ty Washington. So I'm excited. A disappointment if these guys just look clueless out there. If they look clueless out there and they're losing games, I'm cool with them losing games and they look okay. If they look clueless out there and they're not playing the young guys, like maybe like a Ty is not playing or Tari's not playing, man, these Rockets Twitter spaces that we run, they're going to be hectic. So I don't want any hectic spaces this year. I just want these guys to grow as a unit. But go ahead, Will.
So the first question is, what would I consider a successful Rocket season? I mean, I'm going to echo everything they just said, too, about the wins and losses. To me, doesn't matter. I don't think we're going to win that many games. I think I predicted us to win, like, 24, 25 games, which is, like, that's still going to be, like, one of the worst records in the West, which is fine, right? It's not a bad thing here. We are, as Vader and Bryce said, we're a young, inexperienced team, and we're still developing. So, for me, a successful season is, do the young guys look better game 82 than they did game one, right? Does it look we have a full season worth of development under these guys' belt? And if, like, we look at the game 82 and we're like, yeah, like, this guy is clearly a lot better than he was game one, that's fine to me. I look back at, like, Jalen Green from game one of, like, preseason last year, and then where he was dropping 40 on the Hawks in game 82. And obviously, like, dropping 40 is crazy, but, like, even just, like, that last, like, month or so of Rockets basketball, it is night and day how much better at basketball Jalen Green is at that point in time than he is at the beginning of the season. And so, to me, that was a successful part of last season. Like, I think Jalen Green is clearly a lot better than he was when we started the season. He was clearly a lot better than he was when we ended the season, right? So if we can repeat that process this year where we take what we built on last season with Jalen, game 82, and then carry that over to another full season of development so, you know, game 82 of this year, he looks a lot better than that. To me, that's a successful season. That applies to Jalen, KPJ, Shingun, Jabari, Tari, everybody who's on this young course will be playing heavy minutes for us this year. I just want to see them look a lot better than they do at the start of the season than they do at the end. And then disappointment, I'll be honest. I said I don't really care too much about record, but if we win like less than 20 games, I'm going to be pretty upset that we somehow went backwards in the win-loss category, especially considering I think that we should not be the worst team in the NBA this year. I think the Jazz and the Spurs should definitely be worse than us than us this year. And so, like, if we have another one of those, like, what was it, like 1-16, 1-15? Wasn't that how we started last year?
They started off 1-16, man.
Yeah, no, nah, we can't do that this year, bro. If we start out 1-15 this year, I'm going to need on, like, game 10, the 10th consecutive loss, Sol's got to go. But that'll be it for Silas. So I don't want to see that no more. I don't want to see us, you know, regress in the win-loss category. And I think, like I said, a disappointment to me would just be if guys don't get better. And then I'll say one thing that Brad kind of touched on I think is really important too. I anticipate this year will be a little bit more young guy oriented, you know, without Christian Wood in the rotation. Last year, guys like David Nwaba and DJ Augustin, Dennis Schroeder, like they were kind of in and out of the rotation all year. Schroeder and Augustin are gone. Christian Wood's traded. David Nwaba is not really in the rotation at all no more. It's really just Eric Gordon, who I think, and I guess you could consider Garrison Matthews to be a vet, right? Those are the only guys who are like really vets in the rotation. So a disappointment to me would be is if we played David Nwaba and trying to think who else. I mean, we don't really outside of Eric Gordon and David Nwaba, there's really that many vets. But if we're playing, you know, vets over young guys and still losing, kind of how we did towards the end of last season, that would disappoint me. I think we have too much young talent now between, you know, Tari and Tata. I think those guys might, you know, and Garuba, those guys might spend some time in the G League this year because of how, like, tight our rotation is. So if we're taking away minutes from those guys to give them to like, David Nwaba, I'm going to be pretty disappointed. So that's just my answer to that question. Anybody else want to touch in on that before we go to the next one?
Yeah, we can go to the next one.
Okay, cool. The next question comes from at Hurricane Hoops. He says, which Rocket makes the biggest leap this season? I think we might all have the same answer to this one, so I'm curious. But go ahead, Vader.
No, I don't know. I'm thinking it's going to be Josh. To me, it's Josh.
That's what I was going to say. So.
Okay. Yeah, I think it's Josh. I love Josh Christopher. Like, I love everything about his game. I think he's a competitor. I think he's a good teammate. Like, everything, every indication that we have gotten about, like, who Josh Christopher is like, he just has something different about him. And I know he's in a situation where he's stuck behind like really two really good players in Jalen Green and Kevin Porter Jr. But Josh Christopher, like if you look at him and you really look at his game and you look at how he developed from high school to college to like his first season, we thought we were going to send him down to the G League the whole year. He played himself into being with the big club. Then he played himself into the rotation. I just don't see any avenue where Josh Christopher is going to fail. Like, I just don't see it. I feel like this year, Josh, and he's always in the gym. You always see videos of Josh working out. You always see videos of Josh, like, working on his game. I just think that this year when Josh comes back, it may not translate right away at the beginning of the year because the beginning of the year is going to be, like, a filling out process. These guys are going to have to learn how to play together. They're going to learn how, you know, they're still going to be learning where to be on offense and defense, the schemes, you know, what their responsibilities and roles are. But I think somewhere around the middle of the season, we're going to see a leap from Josh Christopher. He's tailor-made to be, like, a sixth man on this team. And I know I was just talking to somebody on Twitter, well, multiple people on Twitter about this the other day, and they were like, I think Josh Christopher is going to outgrow being a sixth man. But at the same time, I was thinking about it, and I'm like, you know, there have been a lot of really successful six men in the NBA over the years. You've had Lou Williams. You've had our own very own Eric Gordon, you know, Jamal Crawford. You know, there's a lot of guys who have made a career out of being like a really great borderline all-star caliber six man, you know, coming off the bench, dropping 20, dropping 30. And not only can Josh do that, but he also can lock up defensively. You know, once he cleans up a few of the things that he does as far as like gambling and, you know, being, you know, footwork, being out of position. So Josh is the guy who I'm expecting a leap from. I think he's going to play himself into that closing rotation, hopefully. And I'm looking forward to seeing it. I'm a big believer in Josh Christopher's game.
Yeah. My answer to this question, I was going to go with Josh. You know, I think Josh is going to have a really big leap this year. A lot of these guys, you know, we have a young team, so everyone's due for a leap. You know, Kevin Porter's coming off his first year point guard. He could have a leap this season. Jalen averaged 17 last year. He can mess around and average 22, 24 this next upcoming year. But, you know, I'm going to go with Alperen Şengün. You know, he had a really good summer playing with Turkey. He's going to be starting now. I just think he's going to be out there. He's going to be getting starter reps. And his bag, if you watched him in Turkey this summer, his bag has gotten a lot deeper. This past season, he only had 8 turnaround or post fadeaways the entire year. And I swear to you, we hit at least 8 or 10 of those in a span of a month's time. So,
Brad, with the stats, let's go.
Yeah. So his bag has gotten a lot deeper. I'm excited against starter center. So I think it could take him a little bit at the start of the season. He's going to have to get used to playing against those starters. But once he gets comfortable with that, again, he's only 20, the kid's going to be a problem. And he's throwing out dimes like no other center. Nikola Jokic is a guy he's on par with statistically at that same age, a second year coming into the league. And if he averages, I want to say, 4.5 assists next year, he'd be the first center since Jokic to average that many assists in his second year. And I think he's capable of doing that. But Şengün, the one worry I do have with him taking a leap is I need him to be productive if he doesn't have the rock. Because if they don't run the offense through him, I don't really know what he's doing. So he's going to have to be effective and things of that nature. Or he's going to start having hit the three ball, you know, because the Rockets is key to the team is spacing. So Şengün doesn't provide that spacing right now. But if he's hitting that post fadeaway and they can feed him there and he can facilitate when he's down there, he's in for a huge leap. So I'm excited to watch him. But what about you, Will?
So I was going to say Josh, and that's still kind of my answer, but you didn't say Josh, Brad. So I'll be different. I won't be redundant and repeat what Vader said. I'll go with KPJ.
Nice.
So my answer, I think Josh is going to be the guy who surprised most people this year, but I think I am extremely confident that KPJ is going to have a breakout season this year. Like, more confident than I was coming into last year. I've never been more confident
in
Kevin Porter Jr. than I am right now, because I've seen and I've heard the work that he's been putting in. So we've seen the clips all summer long from the moment that, like, the season ended. We were seeing clips of him in Toyota Center working out. We had Kelly Eco on the podcast right when the season ended, and he was saying, like, yeah, KPJ's been in the gym, like, all summer. And that was back in, like, I believe June or, like, May, Brad, if I'm not mistaken. It was, like, either June or May. So this is, like, a while ago, and he's been in the gym this whole time working, putting in Chris Brickley, his trainer in New York, came out with a quote not too long ago where he said something along the lines of, like, KPJ's urgency to improve is at an all-time high right now. Yep. And I think he understands what's at stake for him this year. If he has a, you know, worst-case scenario, he has a flare-up and, you know, he has some behavior issues that kind of have followed him to his career to this point, he's looking at, you know, maybe being out of the league. But if KPJ has the type of season that I'm expecting him to have and he stays out of that trouble, which I think he will, he's on the verge of, like, a big bag, bro. Like, and that's if he doesn't get extended right now. But he's on the verge of a big bag, a huge role on the team. You know, somebody who the Rockets could consider building around. So I think that he's going to have for sure a breakout season this year. He's going to solidify himself as someone who could be maybe not necessarily the point guard, but he's going to be a key part of our team moving forward. I think he's going to solidify that this year.
And Will, what can KPJ not do on the court? Like, we've seen these stretches where he is averaging 30 points. He's averaging 8 rebounds. He's averaging 8 assists. You know what I mean? Like, his talent is undeniable. You know, a lot of the stuff that people critique him on is stuff that he can clean up. And it's on him. Like, everything is on the line for him. Everything is in front of him. And great things. Like, if he chooses to go out there and take advantage of it and grab it, like, he's going to get paid. And so, like, I'm wishing all the best for him, because I do believe in KPJ now. I'm going to be honest. I didn't always believe in KPJ. You know, there was a little roller coaster ride for me there where I was like, dang, I'm in on him. And then I was kind of out on him again. But now, like, I see the work that he's doing. I feel like he's trying to change. You know, we have to give people an opportunity to show that they can, you know, improve themselves. And I think he's trying to do that. And so I'm looking forward to see what he does this year. Like, I'm loving what I'm seeing so far. And I think that, you know, like, I think KPJ is definitely up for a big year.
Yeah, I sent Will a tweet. Will, I don't know if you can load it up to the screen really quickly. It's to show how it just really dropped. It really dropped on an inverse incline this past season. And that's how good he got towards the end of the year. You know, he was that bad at point guard to start the year, turning over at a terrible rate, and he really got it down towards the end of the year. He started getting buckets, and he knew at the end of the day, Kevin Porter Jr. knows what kind of basketball player he is. He's the type of guy that's going to facilitate later. And that formula was working for him towards the end of the season. So I'm excited to see it. And KPJ very well could have the best leap. He actually has the fourth win most improved player of the year. So that should have been all of our answers, honestly. But there it is right here. You see, he started up around 35%, which is awful. And you can see they have season average. You see how high he was and how far that is away from season average. And he finished way below the position average, which is good towards the end of the season. So I think he can start this upcoming season below position average. So he's above average as a point guard, keeping that turnover rate down. So I'm excited to see that from Kevin. Just, I appreciate you, Will. Got you doing some overtime work.
And that's no problem. And I want to touch on one thing Vader said, then we'll get to the next question. But you said, what can't he do? And I think that's something that I've always kind of been big on with KPJ. Yes, he has not been the most consistent with everything. Like, you know, his first year, he was really good at finishing. Last year, he really wasn't. His first year, he wasn't the most efficient from beyond the arc. Last year, he was. So, like, he's given and take with, you know, being great at certain areas. I look at KPJ's game and what his skills suggest he could do, not what he can do, like what he can do right now, but what he could do if you were to put it like. There's some guys, like, I'll give you an example. KJ's about to get traded, right? So I'm gonna use KJ as an example here. I don't care how much development you give KJ. KJ's never gonna be like step back, twin hazy cross. Like, that's never gonna be KJ's game, right? But like KPJ, if you look at what he can do, what he could do. I don't know a hole in his game. Like, what aspect of Kate, what can he not, if he puts it together, can Big he not bag. Be good? Big like, bag. What can't he do? Is that what I'm saying? So like, that's one reason why.
A post game is the only thing I could think of.
That's yeah. Maybe like a post game.
You
like,
know what? You know, he probably could add that because he has that, he has a good pace to his game. Like, it's not all just like, you know, zoom, you know, I'm trying to go full speed the whole time. Like, he has an actual pace to his game. Like, he sets people up. He knows how to, like, you know, get to his spots. Like, I think if he wanted to develop a post game, and maybe that's something that he could do down the road once he, like, refines some of the other things that he's been working on. But, like, I honestly can't think of a single thing that Kevin Porter Jr. cannot do. Like, it's really all up here for him. And, like, I feel like he's been working on his mental health, and you know, he's been working on, like, you know, being a more solid individual and having his priorities in order. And if that happens, good luck for the league. Good luck for the rest of the NBA, because the Rockets, like, if we can get Kevin Porter Jr. for a second round pick that doesn't convey, and you added Jalen Green, and you added Alperen Şengün, and you just added Tyrese and Jabari Smith Jr. to that, like, and we have another draft pick coming up and max cap space. You know, good luck to the rest of the NBA.
I agree.
And I'll say this, and I'll go to the next question. But you ask any of his teammates or anybody in the organization, they love KPJ. I expect big things from him, big things from Josh, big things from Şengün. We'll get to the next question. Actually, this is actually a great segue. The next question is just, what are your expectations for Jabari Smith this year from our boy Bryce? So, Vader, go ahead. You got first step at this.
From the chef. All right, so – my expectations for Jabari, I'm thinking maybe 38% from three. I'm thinking somewhere between 13 to 15 points per game, seven rebounds, something like that. Like, nothing too crazy. I think his real value is going to be measured as a floor spacer and defensively. So he's probably not going to win Rookie of the Year, and that's perfectly okay because, like, is he 19? I think he's still 19 years old right now. He was one of the younger players in the whole entire draft, you know. So, like, he's a 19-year-old dude. He's still growing into his body. Like, you saw, like, the workouts, the stuff that he was doing, like, to get bigger already. Like, Jabari Smith is not a finished product, but the value that he's going to add as a guy who knows his role, he's going to slot in, you know, as a corner three-point shooter. He can shoot above the break. He can shoot pretty much from anywhere. And I love that about him because he's not I don't think he's going to think that he is he needs a bigger role in the offense than what he can do. So he's just going to play his role right now. He's going to get a lot of open shots because Jalen Green is amazing. And so is Kevin Porter Jr. as far as, like, individual scoring. So he's just going to sit out there, and it's going to be just like target practice. It's going to be practice shooting for him. And he's going to knock those down somewhere between 38 to 40% once he gets adjusted to the NBA three-point line. And then I think his real value, honestly, is going to be also defensively. You know, when's the last – there's not that many 6'10 guys in the league who can guard a point guard, who can guard a shooting guard, who can guard a small forward, who can guard, you know, like we saw him guard every position, 1 through 5 in preseason. You know, we don't know what that's going to look like necessarily going into the regular season, but I feel pretty confident that he can at least guard 2 through 5, right? And so you add that to what Jayshon Tate does. You know, I posted a video the other day, you know, shout out to Itamar, of Jayshon Tate guarding LeBron James, guarding Russell Westbrook, and then guarding Anthony Davis. Now you adding another guy who could potentially do the same thing. You know, we didn't have that last year, and we definitely didn't have that at 6'10". You know,
we didn't have that when James Harden was here.
No, like Jabari Smith, he's not a dude that's gonna make a whole lot of highlight reels right now, and I think people like get that kind of misconstrued with the fact that he's not like a really, really, really like high upside player. Like the stuff that he can do is becoming massively overrated at this point. Like he was a guy who was considered to be the first pick in the draft, like almost consensus first pick in the draft for like a month. And then when he fell to 3, it's like, oh, now he's not good anymore. And it's pretty ridiculous. But like Jabari Smith is going to have a great season. I think he's going to be a really great addition to the Rockets.
Yeah, you make a great point. He can literally probably guard 1 through 5, 2 through 5 realistically. They have some really quick point guards out there. But I just want to touch on, you know, he will probably play some backup center behind Şengün this year. If he, you know, obviously he's starting at the 4, but he'll get some minutes at the 5, and he was in the 89th percentile last year guarding the rim. And that's something that he's really good at. So, again, as Vader spoke on, having a versatile 6'10 guy like that for the Rockets next year is going to be really important. So, you know, expectations for him. He's going to be exceptional on defense. You know, the Rockets haven't had a defender like him in a while. I expect him to come in from day one and be a really good defender. We saw flashes of it in the summer league. He was locking up Chet and a whole bunch of guys. I really enjoyed watching him. He's a defensive playmaker, as is Tari. I'm sure we'll get to him later in this podcast. But offensively, you know, he had a rough shooting summer league, and I could care less about that. Honestly, I could care less about that.
I agree.
Yeah, he's a sharp shooter.
I'll say real quick, I would have been more concerned if he looked like a cone on defense than he
yeah,
did. Absolutely.
Like, the shots, and, I'm not concerned about that.
Like Will and Brett, like his shot has been consistent. Like, you know, like guys go through stretches of making and missing. Like that doesn't move me. You know, we talk about that. That don't move me at all. Like the fact that like you make 2 or 3 more shots, it completely changes your percentage.
Right.
And then we're like, what are we doing? We're not even having this conversation. Will said, I'd be way more concerned if he could not play defense because he was built as a 3-and-D guy. Like the 3 is going to come, you know, he's going to go through rough stretches like all players do where he's not making shots. But like when he catches fire, like dude is going to be knocking down some really big shots for the Rockets. You can tell.
Yeah. Again, like the way he shoots last year, 42% on 5 attempts a game. I always like to bring this up. When he's uncontested from 3, he shot 57.1% on catch and shoot 3s. He's knocked down. Don't leave him open. Please don't leave him open. Actually, please do leave him open for the Rockets' sake. Contested wise, though, 37.2%. So he's a sniper, pick and pop 3s. I can see a lot of those with KPJ and Jabari, or maybe Şengün in the post, kick it out to him, get an easy 3 ball. So I'm just hoping he comes out there, gets that 3 ball consistent. I'm not expecting him to shoot over 40%, but 38%, as Vader said, is a good 3-point season. Maybe even 36, 37. He's young. I could care less, but that 3 ball is going to look good by the time he's, you know, a seasoned vet, and maybe even year 2 or maybe even this season. So I expect him to be a really good defender. The shot's going to be there. I hope that post fade is there. That's something that he needs to make his go-to in his money. He can really take advantage of mismatches down there in the post. And I want to see him. I could care less about the dribble package. I just don't want to see him do too much dribbling out there unless he's getting to the point where he can start doing those kind of things. But I don't want to see him try to do too much. He does dribble the ball up every once in a while. That's cool. We saw Christian Wood try to do that sometimes. It's a little frustrating. I don't think Jabari brings a little frustrating element to that kind to his game. So I'm not worried about that. But Jabari, he's going to have a good year. Not rookie of the year type season for me, but he's going to be very effective. But what about you, Will?
So I want to touch on one thing that you said, Brad, real quick, and I'll get into what I was going to say. I think one of the biggest like concerns if you watch Jabari at Auburn, I don't say concerns, but like one of the things you would notice if you watch Jabari at Auburn was the guards he was playing with sucked. Like he did not have good guards. Summer League, I have never seen Josh Christopher, and I love Josh Christopher, but I've never seen Josh Christopher play so selfish. Dacian Nix, I mean, we talked about that on the podcast after Summer League, man. I I'm feeling high. I feel less confident. I mean, I feel more confident in Davis Mills than I feel in Dejan Nix right now.
So, really?
Yeah, I'm not too confident.
Man, be nice, man.
Dejan Nix right now. But what I'm trying to say is he hasn't really had, like, the best guard play, you know, in college and in summer league.
Right.
It's going to be a whole different game when he's playing with Kevin Porter Jr., Jalen Green. And, like, Shingun's a big guard. He's a 6'9", 6'10", point guard, really. So, like, when you play with guys like that, Brad said, I think he said, what, uncontested was 57%? Is that what you said, Brad?
57.1%.
He's going to get so many open shots this year because of how much defensive attention that Jalen Green, Kevin Porter Jr., and Alperen Şengün are going to draw. And those guys, I know it's like the stigma that these guys are, like, selfish. All three of those guys are very unselfish, will make the open pass kind of guys. And so Jabari Smith is going to eat this year just off of getting open looks from those three guys that I just named. But like you guys said, too, I don't expect him to be a Rookie of the Year candidate. I think he might, you know, maybe finish third on the high end. And that's okay. I'm not expecting him to do that. That's perfectly fine by me. I actually, about 2 months ago, back in July, I wrote down my predictions for all the young core. So I had Jabari averaging 13 points per game, about 8 rebounds, about 1 assist, 2 steals, 2 blocks, on 43, 37, and 82 splits, right? So that's kind of where I have him at. Right now, just come in. I don't think he's going to, like I said, I have him averaging, what was that, 13 points? So I don't think he's going to average nothing too crazy in the point category. I think that he's probably going to take like 10, maybe 12 shots a night, maybe not even that much. And I think there's going to be some times where Rockets fans are going to be kind of upset, like, why isn't Jabari shooting more? Yeah. And I think that, like, that's fine. Like, he's not going to shoot the ball 20 times a game. He's not going to come out averaging 30 and 25 points. It's not really his game. He's going to let the game come to him. He's going to go out there and play 110% on defense. I think the games were, like, I think I said this on the podcast a while ago, but the games where Jabari averages, puts it like 30-plus points a night, I think those are going to be nights where, like, he doesn't miss. I don't think it's going to be, like, he put up 30 points and he took 20 shots. I think it's going to be because, like, he took 10 shots and made 9 of them. You know what I'm saying? And, like, 3 of them were threes, you know? I mean, 9 of them were threes type stuff. So, yeah, what I was going to say is I don't expect nothing too crazy from him. I can just have a good rookie season. Just go out there, hit the open shot. Maybe operate smart at the post a little bit. Play great defense lockup. That's where I'm more interested to see Jabari is the defense. I don't really – offensively, he's fine to me. But defensively, I expect him to come out there and lock up. But go ahead, baby.
And like you said, like, I mean, his real value is going to be measured as a floor spacer. Like, right, we saw last year the value of having floor spacers on the floor when we had Daniel Theis. Like, they didn't respect his shot, even though he statistically was a decent three-point shooter. It just was not on good enough volume where people actually respected it. They're not going to be leaving Jabari Smith Jr. wide open for very long. They're going to pay for it. So, like, his value is going to be measured as a floor spacer. So that may translate into Kevin Porter Jr. and Jalen Green going off. And so it doesn't look like, you know, he did anything that game, but, like, he provided a lane for Jalen Green to get to the basket. He provided a, you know, opportunity for Kevin Porter Jr. to get into the paint and make something happen. And then also defensively is going to be constant because he actually prides himself on defense. And I that's one thing that I love about him. And you said the word, or Brad said the word, defensive playmaker. I think it was Brad. Defensive playmaker, like, people, that's a real thing, guys. Like, that's actually a real thing. Being a defensive playmaker, turning defense into offense. And now we have, you know, multiple guys who can do that. Like, we're going to see a whole completely different Rockets team this year. And like we said earlier, it may not translate into wins and losses, but, like, it's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah. Last thing I'll touch on with this topic. I think Jabari can be a really good defensive playmaker at center. Again, I touched on it very first, and I've had some pushback on Twitter. You're like, he's not a five. I know he's not a five, but he's going to be the guy they roll out as a small ball five this year. I guarantee you it's going to happen. They've done it with Tate before. They won't be afraid to do it with Jabari, who can also space the floor. But towards the end of the summer league, he's also a guy that can get physical. He's one of the best guys at boxing out last year, top 10% in college basketball and boxing out. So he's getting great positioning. And that's a random stat, I know. But it's a true stat. He's good at boxing out. And then he also led the summer league towards the end in defensive rebounds at 7.6. So he's physical. He gets rebounds. He can push the pace. He's excellent. He's everywhere on defense. So wherever
he doesn't back down. He doesn't back down.
Yeah.
You saw how he takes the challenge. I mean, that's what you want.
Yeah. So wherever he's at, he's going to excel. But that's all I got to say about Jabari. Will, we can go to the next question.
Yeah, we go to the next question. This is a nice quick question. Which players on the team do you see still being here in 2 to 3 years? I'm going to mispronounce it. I'm going to say Juan. Juan 21. Shout out to you. Go ahead, Vader. Who do you think is going to be?
That's Juanito. Juanito.
Yeah. I didn't want to try it.
Juanito. It's a bunch of O's. All right. That's a trick question, man. You're trying to set me up. I'm definitely definitely going Jalen Green. I'm definitely going Jabari Smith Jr. Those guys are the future. We gotta roll with Tari Eason. I think Josh Christopher's gonna be here. I think Shingun is gonna be here. After that, 2-3 years from now, am I forgetting somebody, guys? I think those to me, that's kind of like, what do you consider the core? That's kind of what that question is to me. And for me, it's Jalen Green, it's Josh Christopher. I'm gonna throw Kevin Porter Jr. in because, like I said, I believe in the work that he's put in. I'm gonna throw KPJ in that, and then like the guys I already mentioned, like to me. And then after that, I mean, like let's be honest, like we get attached to these guys. We put a lot of value on these guys. We, you know, sometimes as fans, you know, people, you know, they come on Twitter or they come on different, you know, places on social media, and they propose, you know, these trades, and we're like, no, that's not enough for that guy. You know, that guy does this and this and this, but in reality, you know, by the time we win another championship, and we will be winning another championship, Red Nation, probably half of these guys won't be here. Let's just be honest. So, like, that's probably the group that I'm going to go with right there. And then, like, after that, I mean, I there's other guys on the team that I like and that I hope are here. But, like, realistically, I think those are the guys that to me, look like core guys.
This is tough for me. I was sitting here writing down all the names, but – man, 2-3 years, I think all the main guys will still be here. Kevin, I know it's a concern. Is he going to get extended, this, that? Yeah, Kevin's going to be here. We just say he's going to have a breakout year, and the Rockets are going to keep him if that happens. So, KPJ, I'm locking him in to stay. Obviously, Jalen Green, he's not going anywhere anytime soon, hopefully. Tari Eason, he should be here for the long haul. Asher Jabari, Opper and Shangoon, that's a guy that definitely should stay here. It's going to depend, though. It'll be interesting if they have the worst record in the league and they mess around and get a – you know, a Wimby, what happens with Shangoon then in 3 years. Same thing with maybe a Scoot Henderson, if they end up getting him, who they have to draft, if they get the second pick in the draft. That's going to maybe affect KPJ, but, you know, we'll see. But assuming they don't get, like, one of the first or second pick, I think all these guys are staying. You know, Ty, I think he'll be here. Garuba, that's a guy that could be out in 2-3 years. This is the year he has to show something because they're going to be trying to win games, not this year, but the year afterwards. And if they're not winning games – if they're going to be trying to win in games and Gruber doesn't show anything this season, then I think he's gone. He's out. That's the one guy that has a lot to prove this year. He looked good in the Eurobasket. You know, excellent defense, was even knocking down threes here and there. But an excellent passing display by him. But he's going to have to show that this upcoming year if he wants to stay. And outside of that, young core, Deja Nix, he's going to be gone. So when you're thinking, oh, which player's going to – Tate, I think he'll still be here. Just look at the team like this. You got 10 guys, 22 or younger. Out of those 10, I'll just take out Dacian. I don't think he'll be here. Garuba. I'm optimistic in him, but if I have to take out some guys, I'll take out Garuba. But I hope that he stays. I like what he brings to the floor. I think he can be a really good playmaker and defender. But I'll just take those two guys out. And anybody else who's not under 21 or excluding Tate, Eric will be gone. Garrison, yeah, he'll be gone. He'll be gone too. But that's hard. That is a trick question. Y'all trying to get on me.
Good question, Brad. You know what? I didn't forget about Tate, but like Will's made this point a lot of times. Tate is a guy who, like, on a championship team, you need a guy like Tate, man. Tate's gonna do all the dirty work for you. He's gonna die for loose balls. He's gonna frustrate guys. He's gonna get guys, you know, on the other team that like get technical fouls and maybe get ejected from the game, you know, get under guys' skin, just be that irritant. I could easily see Jayshon Tate here. I just don't consider him a core piece, but I definitely could see Jayshon Tate, you know, as a person that could still possibly be here in 2 to 3 years.
Yeah, I mean, they got that team-friendly contract that was 3 years, so he better be here in 3 years. So.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. What about you, Will?
So before I answer the question, I'll say this, right? I think that because of how unique our rebuild is, with the fact that we don't own our first-round picks anymore after next season, so starting in 2024, those picks will start going to OKC. They're top four protected. Until I'll be 2026, I think 2025 is a pick swap. But we don't really own those picks now, right? Which kind of takes away the avenue to tank, right? You kind of can't be the worst team in the league anymore. So given that time check where it's like it's this season, one more season of we can afford to be the worst team in the NBA before it's like that's not an option no more. I actually am. I can't say with confidence that everybody's going to be here that y'all named. So I'll put it like this. People who I know will be here in 2 or 3 years, it's just Jalen Green and Jabari Smith. I am like 100% sure that 3 seasons from now, Jalen Green is still going to be here. And not, you know, unforeseen like a crazy like Anthony Davis kind of trade where like Brandon Ingram and Lonzo Ball gets traded, right? I think Jabari Smith is going to be here too. That being said, I am not – like that's the people I know are going to be here. I think and I'm pretty confident that like Kevin Porter Jr., Shingun, Tari, and Tate and Josh, those are the guys who I think would for sure be here after that. But like I could see a world where like, you know, 2 seasons from now when it's time to start winning games, we package some of these guys together and try to go get like an all-star kind of guy. Like it wouldn't shock me. I think that's one of the cool things about our rebuild is that we don't have to rebuild exclusively through the draft or like as in like the guys we draft pan out. These guys, I think if there's a team out there that's about to lose their star player and they say we're going to go to a rebuild and the Rockets say we want to contend, we have rebuilding pieces that team could want. Like I was a team starting from scratch. If I was like Utah, I would love Josh Christopher right now. I would love to have a guy like him on my roster being like the focal point of my team. So I believe a lot in Josh Christopher. So it wouldn't shock me if somebody like Josh gets put in a package for like a, let's say like Rudy Gobert was back on the market again. Like it wouldn't shock me if a guy like that is moved for like Josh Christopher. So that's my long way of saying I'm confident that Jalen and Jabari are going to be here. I think with some level of confidence that KPJ, Shingun, Josh, and Tari will be here. And Tate. Tate is some extension. I believe a lot in Tate. Outside of that, I am not confident in anybody else.
KJ, he's gone.
He's gone. He's the first
guy. Yeah, he's out.
I'll move this question up because it's kind of a good segue into it. It's what would be the most realistic return in the KJ Martin trade? What team should have the most interest in him from Drew Likes Hoops? So, Vay, we kind of segue that one perfectly in for you.
Realistic KJ Martin trade. I was about to post something the other day that we should get like 2 firsts for him. That's not realistic. All right. So, like, realistic late first at the most, I think ultimately it just kind of comes down to like how do you value him? I mean, like, what is he? Like, what position is he? I think that is one of the things that is one of the biggest issues with KJ Martin is he's at 6. I know he's listed at 6'7" on our site, but like realistically, he's probably a 6'6" dude. And his best position is probably power forward and not small forward. So like, what is the market for a 6'6" power forward in today's NBA? He's good at blocking shots. He's good at rim running. He's good at dunking. He's good at am I missing something? I mean, he's an exciting player to watch. Like, I love KJ Martin. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I don't want him to be traded. If, you know, let me put that out there. I do not want KJ Martin to be traded. Like, I like KJ Martin on this team. He's only 21 years old. I feel like he has a lot of growth in his game. But realistically speaking, he's probably never going to be like a legitimate threat as a ball handler. I don't see a lot of creation in his passing. So I think he's pretty limited. Like, I don't see he doesn't have a mid-range game. It's pretty much all dunks and threes like for him. And you know, I respect that. But like I said, he's a 6'6" power forward. As far as like what we could get for him, you know. And see, this is the tricky thing. It's like, and it's like, what teams should be interested in him? I mean, who needs a 6'6" power forward? I think his best opportunity and his best route to playing time and actually establishing himself in the league was here on the Houston Rockets. I know his dad came out in the media and said something about him going to a team that's a contender and learning how to win. And KJ Martin does not get minutes on a team like that. Like we saw last year with Golden State, like. Jonathan Kuminga, who played, you know, sporadically during the regular season, barely got off the bench in the playoffs. And Jonathan Kuminga has way more upside and way more potential than a guy like KJ Martin. So when you're talking about like maybe him going to a contender, I just don't see a route where he can carve out an actual niche and actually get playing time that he's seeking to get. Like, he's getting a lot of playing time here. He played over 20 minutes here. He was like he was a second round pick. He went after pick 50. Like, I think he's already exceeded expectations as far as I'm concerned, as far as like guys that are drafted in that range. Like, he's been given a great opportunity by the Houston Rockets organization. So just to answer the question, so I could pass it on to Brad, like, realistic, maybe multiple seconds, late first at best. And then as far as what team should be interested in him, like, to me, if I'm a team, if I'm a contending team, I'm not interested in KJ Martin. I'm sorry. I'm just not. Just based on, like, when I look at the rosters of contending teams and I look at what they need, I don't think KJ Martin brings anything to the table that they don't already have, or that they don't already have better. And then as far as like a young team, yeah, he'd be good on a young team, but is he back in another similar situation to where he is right now, where he's fighting for playing time? So that's just how I feel about that.
Yeah, I'll keep it short for KJ. Of course, we'd all love a late first for KJ. I've just heard the market for that is not looking likely. Sadly, I'd love a late first, but it's looking like, for me, I would prefer 2 seconds for him. I don't even want a player return because we already have a log jam at the forward position. The guard rotation, it looks like it's already solidified. We just need to find out what's going on with Dayson and Ty. So don't need to vet a backup point guard and center. Just throw in Garuba at backup center and call it a day. So we don't need no player returns. I would just prefer a second or 2 seconds, and those seconds, we don't need to draft anybody. Just use those to trade down the line if you're trying to, you know, get somebody. So hopefully, like I said, something in that package range, and what team would like him. I honestly don't know, but send him to Utah. You know, if you went out, you want some minutes, send him to Utah. Vernon Maxwell will tell you. So send him to Utah. That's cool. But if it's a contending team, I get my serious answer. I think he would look good in Dallas. He's an exciting player on offense, explosive. I think that's always going to be a good pairing with Luka Doncic. His three ball hasn't looked bad, around 36%. And again, he's an exciting player that can turn defense into offense at times. So I think he'd be a good pairing in Dallas. I don't know how many minutes he would get. He's looking for a big role. I don't know if he gets that in Dallas, but I do like that pairing with Luka if they were to share some minutes together. But what about you?
So I'm going to echo the sentiment that unless it's like a legit rotation piece for like trying to win games, I don't really want to play your back for KJ, which I don't really see a scenario where you're trading KJ Martin and getting back a legit rotation piece.
Yeah.
I think Bader kind of touched on some of his limitations and why his market, in my opinion, is not going to be that great. He's a 6'6", maybe 6'5", power forward, somewhere in that range, who he shot, I believe, was 36% from three this season, but it was on 2 attempts per game, and I might still have it pulled up, Brad. Let's see. Is this the one?
Pull it up.
No. Yeah, this is it. This is the one I'm looking for. The one I'm going to move.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to move the caption so everybody can see it. But the three-point openness rating, if you look in your bottom right-hand corner, it's Alperen Şengün, which he's a center. It makes sense, whatever. Jae'Sean Tate is the next closest to the bottom right, which bottom right being you were left the most open and your catch and shoot three-point percentage wasn't that high. Yeah. So Jae'Sean Tate was next, but then it's KJ. So KJ isn't really being guarded that much from beyond the arc, and he's right. Taking, he's taking 2 a game, but he's not really converting at a high clip, right? So I don't know. For me, I am. Oh, that's the wrong question. I'm not like. I don't think that his market is that crazy, right? Like, he's not really that much of a shooter. He's a good defender. I don't think he's a great one. Like, I think I can name plenty of guys who are better than him defensively, right? So I don't think his market. I know, like, we were in a space the other day, and people were saying they thought he could go for, like, a late first. If Stone trades KJ Martin for, like, just trade KJ Martin for a first-round pick, he's the greatest general manager of all time, bro. Like, I'm going to be the happiest dude in the world if that happens. But as for, like, a realistic return, I think that the way KJ Martin gets traded is with Eric Gordon. I think that, like, you put those two guys in a package together. Jay Crowder has, you know, I don't know if that's the report before some recording, but Phoenix is saying he's out. Like, Jay Crowder's not going to go to training camp. They're trading him before the season starts. And I'm not saying the Rockets should get Jay Crowder. I think we should get, like, a 30 new ball. But I think, like, Jay Crowder being on the move opens up the avenue for like Eric Gordon. We know that Phoenix has some sort of interest in trading for. They tried trading for him before. I think this will, that'll be the opportunity for them to finally get Eric Gordon. And then we could put, maybe put KJ Martin in that package that trades Eric Gordon. And then that way we would get a first round pick for Eric Gordon and KJ, which I'm cool with, right? Like if it's Eric Gordon and KJ. And then maybe a little something else on the side to like kind of make up the gap between Eric Gordon and KJ together. But yeah, I think that's kind of how we get KJ Martin to the team. And then the second question is, what team should have the most interest in him? Bryce with the Mavericks, I think my I'll say one, I can think of a couple of teams, but I'll say one team. I think the team that makes the most sense for him is the Charlotte Hornets. They just lost Miles Bridges. I think Miles Bridges isn't going to be playing for the Hornets this year.
He better not.
I don't know if he's going to be playing for anybody anytime soon. So assuming that they did indeed lose Miles Bridges, which is like their second best player, they're going to be kind of a pickle between, you know, LaMelo Ball and not really having a legit co-star. I'm not saying KJ Martin is the co-star, but Miles Bridges leaving has left a wide open hole at starting power forward spot for Charlotte. And I think that you give KJ Martin, a guy like LaMelo, can kind of catch him for the catch shoot opportunities and for like the lobs and stuff like that, the pick and rolls. I think that he would, you know, play really well next to LaMelo Ball in Charlotte. So that's where I go for what team should have the most interest in him.
That's a good pick. Yeah. Well, I like that.
I like that too. But I mean, he still has like guys like PJ Washington in front of him. Like,
yeah.
I don't think he's very.
Although I know they've been, I think they've been playing PJ at the five a lot lately. But hey, but I mean, you're right. They might play PJ at the four. I don't know what they're gonna do.
They should definitely play PJ at the four. They definitely should. Yeah.
And see, my whole contention is that, like, I like KJ as a player. It's just the fact that, like, if he's looking to leave here in order to seek a larger role, I just don't know if that exists. He plays, what, like 22 minutes per game here. I mean, if he's looking to play like 28 to 30 minutes per game, I don't think that's out there. I just don't.
Not for KJ.
Yeah, that's it for me on that. Will, we can get one or two more if you want to.
Yeah. Sweet. Okay, so there's a good one. It says most realistic dream target to complete the Rockets rebuild within the next 2 years. Yeah, so that's a, and we're saying realistic is in like a guy who could be on the move in the next 2 years. So
this has to be like a trade guy or like within the draft. What do you think?
Trade or signing, right? So like he's a free agent.
Okay, interesting. Okay.
That's a great question, and that's something that I got to think about for a second, because like I'm so locked in on our guys. Like I love our guys. Like I know we're not going to win a lot of games this year, but like when you talk about like completing the rebuild, I'm thinking about, okay, so like say it's Wimby. I know that Wimby is coming in, and that's gonna like move Şengün to like a whole completely different status on the team, as far as like he's no longer our starting center of the future. He is. I don't think Şengün is a power forward. I know some people think he might be able to play power forward. I don't think so. What do we need? Okay, so we got Jabari. We got Tari now. We may, like, I feel like our areas of upgrade are areas that I don't really want to say, like, because we don't know what Kevin Porter Jr. and we don't know what Şengün are going to look like this year. But to me, those are the two areas right now that I think, like, realistically, if I'm being – and I'm not being a homer and I'm being completely honest going into the season, we need to upgrade at point guard, which Kevin Porter Jr. could be that upgrade because he's been working on that game. And we need to upgrade at center. And that could be Şengün because he has also – you know, I'm expecting him to make a leap this season. But I think those are probably – you know, just looking at the roster construction, those two, the point guard and the center, are the two areas that we could upgrade and actually would cause the team to take a huge leap. So if you're talking about adding a guy within the next 2-3 years, I think it would have to be at those positions. I need a minute to kind of think about it because it could be either draft or free agency. I'm assuming, as he didn't specify. Do you have?
Yeah, I'll say this, and I might be taking Will's answer here. I'm sorry.
I think you're gonna take my answer.
I'll do it on purpose. But they got a guy out in Boston who's allegedly beefing with
the coach. Yeah, that was my answer.
Coach, you know, the suspended coach. If everything falls apart there, they gotta get him. Jaylen Brown. Throw him at the three, throw him next to Jabari. It's a match made in heaven. I would love that. Get Jaylen Brown. He's gonna be making $30 million. Not this year, but the year after, then $40 million that year after. And the Rockets have the cap space, so make it happen. That's my guy.
And I'll quickly piggyback off of him because he stole my answer. But we already know that Jaylen Brown and Jaylen Green, just kind of funny that Jaylen and like a color is their last name. But we know that they're already, I didn't realize until just now. They already have some, like, there's photos of them from like the draft last year taken together. So like, they already know each other. We already know players love Jaylen Green when they come play with him. So there's already the connection between Jaylen Green and Jaylen Brown there. And then we know that Jaylen Brown has not been too, he hasn't been happy with the way that Boston tried to trade him this summer. Like, when that's Kevin was on the market, they made it, Boston kind of made it pretty clear that, like, hey, we have this package of Jaylen Brown and picks. Like, do you want this, Brooklyn? And he's like, he thinks of himself as like, bro, you know, I know Tatum is better than me. He's the focal point, but I'm right there with him. I'm right behind him. You know what I'm saying? We just went to the finals. Like, you guys are about to trade me. And so I think he feels a little disrespected by the organization. He's somebody whose contract is up, I think, in 2 seasons, if I'm not mistaken. And if not, I mean, like I said, this could be somebody who reaches a level of disgruntledness to where he's like, Rockets come in with our assets that we've accumulated over the last couple of years and scoop them up. So that was definitely my answer, Brad. Thank you for submitting it.
I got you.
Yeah, that was funny because like I made a little video about that where, you know, he actually played really well in the finals. So like a lot of people were like, oh, you're going to trade Jaylen Brown instead of like Jason Tatum. And so I was just like, you know, I was like looking at it from the perspective of Jaylen Brown. It's like, what you say, forget me for, you know what I mean? Like, I played really great in the finals, but like you trying to get rid of me and you know, you keeping this other dude, you know, I'm sure that, you know, him and Tatum have a good relationship, but like, you know, if I'm him, you know, I would definitely feel a certain type of way about that. Like I put it all on the line, you know, I played my behind off, you know, I left it all on the court and you trying to trade me? Like, where's the loyalty? And, you know, Boston has already shown in the past, like, you know, like with what was the Isaiah Thomas? Like Isaiah Thomas had this whole situation where they did him dirty, man. And then they ended up like shipping him off to get Kyrie Irving. So it's like the organization, you know, out in Boston, I mean, I know it's a business, but you know, if you look at it from the human perspective, like Jaylen Brown has to have, you know, some kind of feelings about that, even if he doesn't come out and say it publicly. But I would seriously doubt that he is just like 100% locked in and 100% loyal to them. You know, if there's an opportunity here in Houston where, you know, you see Jaylen Green taking that leap and you see KPJ taking that leap, this is a perfect spot for him. You know, you got Jabari Smith at the four, you got Jaylen Brown at the three, and then you got Kevin Porter and Jaylen Green, you know, at the one and two and Shingo. Like that to me looks like a perfect young and up and coming team right there. I like it.
You agree?
Yeah. Okay, we have three more questions and then these kind of quick ones we can end it. This one's gonna be a little thought provoking. It says, what aspect of Jaylen Green and Alperen Şengün's games need to improve the most this season?
I'll be quick. All right, so Jaylen Green, playmaking. I want to see him improve as a playmaker. I think the fact that we didn't get Paulo Banchero, which we were expecting to get just because that's what the media told us, I think that puts the ball in Jaylen Green's hands a little bit more, which, you know, that's not necessarily a bad thing. I think it accelerates his growth. Because Paulo would have definitely demanded the ball a little bit more. So you would have had KPJ and Paulo with the ball. I think Jaylen Green would have excelled, you know, more off the ball. But I think now we need him to be a playmaker. We need him to be able to go out there and like create opportunities for some of the other guys on the team. And so like that's what I want to see as far as him, as far as like growth, playmaking, and then obviously take another step defensively. I think, you know, from where he was at the beginning of the year to where he ended up at the end of the year, like night and day. Like his defense at the beginning of the year was atrocious. Let's just be honest. But he didn't, you know, he came basically from high school. He played he had a cup of coffee in the G League. You know, that wasn't like, you know, what they didn't even play 20 games. You know, people want to point to the fact that like, you know, he had this, you know, this experience in the G League. Like they literally did not even play 20 games. So he came into the NBA almost straight from high school. And there's a learning curve. Like a lot of the guys who came straight from high school into the NBA had to go through that, and Jaylen Green went through that, and I think he came out well on the other end. As far as LP, he got to stop fouling, man. He needs to not foul. That man needs to learn how to stay on the floor and play minutes. And I think if he can play minutes, I think that his game is going to blossom. So those are the things that I need to see from those two guys.
All right, looking at the question, I guess as they're going to say, you know, what part of the game would I want them to improve the most? And I'll be quick as well. Personally, you know, for Jalen, I just want to see both of these guys just improve on their strengths. They're still young, so get, you know, improve your strengths and, you know, be a master of your craft. But that's not the question. So obviously for Jalen, he needs to improve playmaking. As Bader said, playmaking is something he needs to improve, and defensively. He wasn't the best coming off of off-ball screens, navigating around screens, but I think strength is going to help him do that. But personally, I want to see him become a true three-level scorer. We saw him dominating towards the end of the season. From three, he started taking middies. Those look good. And he's starting to get to the paint at will, so drawing more fouls in the paint, just being a true three-level scorer, becoming that guy who's going to be a perennial scoring champion. That's what I want to see him grow towards. As for Alperen, yeah, we all want to see him shoot the three ball well. I want to see him play defense. Those are things he obviously needs to improve. But for me, again, becoming a master of his craft, I want to see him show variety in the post, those spins, those fadeaways, someone you can really get it to in the post, and you're like, yeah, we got to double this guy. We got to set a double. Once he gets that in his game, he's going to be unstoppable in the post. So that's what I want to see him improve. But obviously the answer is he needs to be hitting the threes a little more, and he's got to be in better positioning on defense, whether he's in drop, playing ice, or his awareness on the defensive side of the court. But that's it for me, Will. What you got?
I'll take it a different direction. I'll say for Jalen, I actually do think it's playmaking for him, but I'll take it a little different. For Jalen, this may not answer the question per se, but one thing that I do want to see him do next season and kind of like for the rest of his career is I don't want him to fall in love with, I guess, the skill side of basketball, right? Like, Jalen Green obviously can shoot the lights out from all over the floor, but like he's also an S-tier, one-of-one, God-tier athlete. Go dunk on somebody. Like, don't fall in love with trying to, you know, the they call it tween-hezzy step backs. Don't fall in love with the tween-hezzy step back. Don't fall in love with the threes. You have, you know, there's probably maybe five guys in the NBA, maybe not even that much, who have better athleticism than Jalen Green. Use that to your advantage, man. Go boom on somebody. Go, you know, and physically impose your will on the game. So that's one year I kind of want to see Jalen Green impacted. And then Shingun, like defensive awareness. I don't think he's a bad defender. I don't think he's a smart defender yet. I think if he gets to the point where he can become a smart serve defender, I'm not really concerned about his physical limitations as much, you know, anymore. I'm more concerned about his like awareness. Like, we watched him in Eurobasket, and there were some times where like he would just have like lapses of judgment defensively, and somebody would get like an easy bucket on him or something like that. So just kind of cleaning that up, that comes with experience and him playing the game a little bit longer, you know, coaching as well. But yeah, the defensive awareness is something that I definitely want to see him improve upon. But that's all I have to say for that one. Anybody else have any questions? All right, cool. Second to last question. Thoughts on Garrison Matthews being a regular rotation player? I did not see the part where it said for years to come, even though I typed this, so that's pretty funny. But I guess I was in autopilot mode when I was typing these questions out. But thoughts on Garrison Matthews being a regular rotation player?
I'll just keep it to this year, and I'm going to be real quick with this. I don't have a lot to say about it. I appreciate what Garrison Matthews did when Jalen Green got hurt and he came in, and you know, he was a spark, but like the things that he did was unsustainable. Like his true shooting percentage, his, you know, a lot of people were pointing to like things like Raptor and all of this other, you know, all these other advanced statistics to show that Gary Bird, you know, that's how he earned the nickname in the first place. You know, so I appreciate everything that he did. So I don't want to sound ungrateful. You know, he's a Houston Rocket, and I don't want to hate on him. However, I do not view Garrison Matthews as a person that's going to be in a rotation on a winning team moving forward. And I would prefer that he is not in the rotation this year. Like, I'm going to just be honest with you. I know that his shooting is very important. I'm hoping that they can get that from some other guys if they've made some leaps and made some improvements. However, you know, it's not that I don't like Garrison Matthews. I just don't think, like, as far as like offensively and defensively, I just don't see it. I'm not really in on Garrison Matthews. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Yeah. For years to come, no, but this year, regular rotational piece, also no. But I do think there's a big chance that he does get minutes this year. I've made it very well known on my Twitter page that 11th man off the bench at times. The spacing is looking ugly, and there's a good chance that the spacing may look pretty bad this upcoming year. So Garrison's a perfect guy to come in and fix that, but that doesn't make him a regular rotational piece. It's a possibility he could start the year as a regular rotational piece. It depends on the roster construction at the beginning of the year. I need to see what's going to happen with KJ. But maybe if EG's pushed out and he's still on the roster, maybe let's talk about past the trade deadline. Then maybe Garrison's inserted into the mix. But those are the only scenarios I could see him being a regular rotational piece. But I do want him to get minutes just so he can shoot the lights out from three. And hopefully he fixes that shot selection. But those are the scenarios I'm looking at.
I think that he actually is going to be just a straight up rotational piece this year. Like I think that we talked about some, I think, on some previous podcasts, but like a lot of our wings outside of Eric Gordon really can't shoot the ball. Right. And we know how important spacing is, specifically for like Jalen Green and Kevin Porter Jr., how much their games are impacted by having adequate spacing on the floor. Mm-hmm. And so because we don't have, you know, outside of Eric Gordon, who I think I'm pretty sure all of us in this call are kind of hoping that Eric Gordon gets traded sometime, hopefully before the season starts, but if nothing else, at the deadline. Once he goes, the best shooter, the three-point shot is Garrison. I mean, after that, it's probably like, because we're assuming KJ's gun, it's probably Tari or Tate. And like neither of those guys, I don't think, are going to be like shooting the lights out or, you know, at a respectable clip this season. I mean, allegedly Tate's jump shot is approved, which I guess you have to be seen. But because I do value spacing, I think Silas is going to give Garrison Matthews some, you know, maybe like a eighth man, ninth man kind of role off the bench this year. I hope that as the season progresses, we no longer need him to have that role. And like a guy like Tari or maybe Tate kind of steps up and starts making defenses respect them from range, or like, you know, does something else in the court, like necessitates playing them. But it's not going to, like, game one of 82 preseason, I believe is next Sunday, a week from now, I think he's going to be playing. I think he's going to be playing, you know, 15, 20 minutes a night. But anybody else have any thoughts on Garrison? Oh, and long-term, he's not going to be here. I think this is his last year.
I mean, and Silas loves him. I mean, Silas loves him. We saw that last year. Silas likes him in a rotation. It's not that I don't appreciate what he does. I think I'm looking at it from the perspective of us building that defensive identity that I was talking about earlier. And I know he's a gritty defender. I know he gets in position very well. He takes a lot of charges. But I don't see us being able to, like, really, really put that defense on the floor with him out there. I just see him more as a guy who, like Brad was saying, like, if we need shooting and we need a spark off the bench, a guy who we can maybe just throw out there and, you know, let's see if you're hot tonight. Let's see if you can, like, kind of like when we had Gerald Green at one point, like, he was not always in a rotation, but there were some games where we were like, man, we need some shooting. And they put Gerald Green out there, and he knocked down 2, 3, 4 three-pointers, and, you know, he brought a spark to the team. And I'm kind of looking at Garrison Matthews as having that kind of role.
I'll say one last thing about Garrison. Defensively, you know, he is really good at taking charges, but he's also one of the best guards defending the paint in the entire NBA, random stat. But he's pretty good in the paint. I think he was, what, fourth best rim defensive field goal percentage versus their expected field goal percentage. And Garrison was really up there behind only a few guys. So he's a good defender in the paint, but there are better young guys who are defenders on the team that are guards, like Ty and Josh, and obviously now Tari and Jay Sean, and we can go down the list. But again, I just hope he's in there for shooting purposes if that's the case. But you can go to the next one, Will.
I think this last question kind of segues perfectly into what Vader was saying too about the identity. So from our guy, this is kind of funny, is that Darsock4. Go ahead, Vader. What should the team identity be?
Okay, so it's kind of like we've come full circle. Like, yeah. I think the very first thing I talked about was us having an offensive identity. Like, what are we doing? Like, there were so many times last year where it just looked like we were at Lifetime Fitness or the YMCA, and you know, we really did not understand what was going on out there on the floor. There was a lot of complaints about, like, Jalen Green standing in the corner. There was a lot of complaints about the three-man weave that was going on at the top of the key, like, above the three-point line. Like, it was just weird. So I want to see the offense have an identity. I want to see, you know, Silas was hired as this offensive genius, offensive mastermind, you know, a guy who could go out there and be innovative on offense and do some different things that that we haven't seen necessarily, or, you know, just things that like cater to our guys' strengths. So I'm looking forward to that. And then as far as the identity, we drafted multiple guys who are defensive players. So I would like to see us actually develop a defensive identity. To me, that's more important than anything. That's even more important to me than the offensive side of the ball. I think we have good offensive players. What we did not have, what it did not look like we had in the past was good defensive players. So now I feel like we have at least 3, 4, 5 guys who can hang their hat on defense. And I would like to see us, like Brad said earlier, let's transfer some of that defense into offense. Some of our best plays last year was when we turned the other team over and we got out in the break. We got on a transition and we were throwing those lobs up to Jalen Green. We're throwing those lobs up to KJ Martin and stuff like that. And that is what I want to see. That's the identity that I would like to see us have as a team, just a gritty defensive team. We're going to play 48 minutes. And, you know, like you got to beat us. We're not beating ourselves. You know, we're young, you know, so – you know, we're probably going to not, you know, be victorious in the majority of the games that we play. However, you know, when you play the Houston Rockets that you're in for a dogfight that night. That's what I want to see.
I like that. And that's pretty much what I was getting at. You know, the identity Silas always talks about as a team that they want to minimize their half court offense and just get out there and run. So defense and offense, and it starts with defense. And this has been a bad defensive team during the rebuild. And they drafted 3 guys who can go out there and play defense for a reason. They drafted Gruber last year for a reason, you know, and Josh for a reason last year. So they need to play defense starting this year, and that's going to be a big part of their identity because turning defense into offense will be huge. They just took away the take foul. So these guys need to get out there and run. Take advantage of them taking away that take foul. Take advantage of having an extremely athletic. So that's going to be big. And offensively, again, a lot of DHOs last year. You just brought in a really good shooter. Jabari, I'd like to see him on a lot of pin downs, maybe some elevator screens, a lot of actions to get him some open threes. As for Garrison as well, you know, if he's out there. But, you know, as for Jalen, I'd like to see him in six. We don't need him in the corner, and they stopped doing that towards the end of the year. And Kevin Porter Jr. is most important. He's going to be probably most important for the team. I didn't even touch this year as the point guard. So him being the offensive coordinator, I just like to see him getting guys to their spots, setting everything up, and knowing that he's a guy that can go out there and get a bucket facilitated at the same time. So I'm excited for this group. It's going to be fun. We say this every year. And I think this year will actually be a fun group. Excited. And I think the identity is going to look a lot better than just DHOs last year and a lot of what's going on out there, you know, from people watching. So that's my take. Go ahead, Will.
I think Vader kind of touched on what I was going to touch on. But, like, I think our identity is a transition team. I think that you just added a bunch of guys who are going to do a really good job on the defensive end. And we talk about defensive playmaking with Jabari Smith and Tari Eason. We're bringing back Jayshon Tate. Still have Usman Garuba who can kind of come in and be a wrecking ball on defense. I believe a lot in like Josh Christopher and Kevin Porter Jr. as improving defenders. So when you have guys like that who are going to be active and engaged with the defensive end, to carry rebounds, and then you have obviously you have Jalen Green, who's the quickest person on the planet. Kevin Porter Jr., Josh Christopher, guys, we got a transition. Securing those defensive rebounds and then getting it to the guards and pushing the tempo on transition, I think it's how we can put up a lot of easy points this year. They took out the take foul. I don't know exactly what the new role it looks like, but I know that like they restructured the take foul, which I think took that out. And if you remember like last season, there were so many times where, like, Jalen Green or KPJ would be about to go boom on the break, and they would get fouled. And, you know, the point would be not to stop them from shooting. It was stop them from going and getting the easy bucket in transition. So with that being gone, and then you have, like I said, all of these new guys we're going to bring in, something that we didn't have last year defensively was, like, Jabari and Tari. It's like a whole other year of cohesiveness. I think that we're going to see, a better product on the defensive end of the court, which is going to lead to, like I said, a lot more rebounds, outlet passes to guards, and then transition points. So I think that's what our identity is going to look a lot like this year.
Yeah, I'm trying to, like you're talking about it, and I'm trying to, like, be chill because I know we're recording, but, like, I'm getting hyped, man, just thinking about, like, you know, I really want to see these guys get out and run because, you know, like, as a person who's coached basketball, you tell some of your young players, it's like, you don't want to have to play in the half court all the time. You want to be a defensive team because you can turn people over and you can get out in the open court and you get out in transition and you can do some of those things that you want to do, like those really exciting plays, those dunks, those layups. And so, like, just y'all talking about it, man, I see the vision. Like, I think we're putting together the pieces right now to be able to put that kind of product on the floor. And you want, you know, because we always talk about this cap space that we have and these guys that we're trying to bring in free agency. Like, those guys are going to want to see – they want to see an identity. Nobody's going to come here if we just look like we're out here just running around, like, and we don't know what we're doing. You know, nobody's going to come to a team like that. Like, I don't care how much money you throw at them because they could probably get that same money somewhere else. We have to put a product on the floor this year that is enticing to a free agent, that a guy can look at and say, hey, you know what? I see what those guys are trying to do. And I feel like I can add this to that piece of the puzzle. I'm like the missing link. And so, like, even though we say, you know, the wins and losses aren't important this year, that identity is extremely important if we're looking at actually, like, being able to draw a real good and impactful free agent.
Those are good points. I definitely agree with everything you said. Well, do you have anything else to add?
No, I think that's all I had to add today on the questions. I'll say this. We really appreciate everybody who helped submit questions on Twitter. Like I said, everybody who was mentioned, I tried to read out you guys' ads. I'll probably tag you in the post tomorrow so that you guys were mentioned in the episode. Thank you for the questions. Make sure you guys follow along on the pages so you don't miss out for the next time we do this type of thing. Brad said it at the start of the show, but we just moved over to our new YouTube channel, just the Brad on Will Show on YouTube. You just look it up, you'll see it. Yeah, it's where we're going to be housing all of our podcast content now. All the other streaming services still work, so you still get on Apple, Spotify, wherever you shoot your podcast, that should still be there. Only thing that's changing is where you find it on YouTube. So make sure you guys like and subscribe, leave a comment. We appreciate all the support you've been giving us on that front. And like Brian also said, we also are giving away 2 tickets to preseason at 500 subscribers. And we're planning to do the same thing during the regular season itself. So if you want to find a way to secure yourself some free tickets for a pretty, I'd say it's pretty feasible that you're going to win. We don't have that many people entering this contest. So if you want to win some tickets to come go to some of the games this season, make sure you follow along with the show on Twitter and YouTube, and we'll keep you guys updated on how to win those tickets. With that being said, I'm pressing with the Brad. We can get to it.
Before you pass out to me, I'll pass it back to us so he can plug himself, even though.
Oh, yeah, I'll plug myself again. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Bias Houston. There you go.
There you go. All right, and you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at BradoNBA, getting all your favorite stats highlights. Will, I appreciate you for letting the giveaway and the new channel. We're excited to be, you know, independent. We're going to grow here. We had 1.48 out of Cluster City Control Room. So here, I think we're just over 100 with you guys and get a good fan base. So we appreciate you guys for listening. If you're listening this long, we really appreciate you. So I'll pass it off to our guest, Vader. I had a great time speaking with you, my man. People know where they can find you on Twitter.
On Twitter, I'm at Vader H-Town. That's where you can find me. So just check out the content. Also check out Brad and Will. They're awesome guys, actually in real life, not just on the app. So I think that's important. You know, like I think one thing that like really draws people, you know, to you, you know, on social media is like when you're genuinely good people, and Brad and Will are both genuinely good people.
Thank you. I appreciate that. As are you. And I haven't had a chance to meet Vader, but I know he is a great person.
And yeah, we got to link next time you're in town. We got to link up for sure.
Well, yeah, that's going to happen. But that's it for me on this podcast. Last thing I would say, you know, Vader, he is a must follow on Twitter. Really good Houston account. Not even just Rockets, but everything. But that's the last thing I'll say for this podcast. I appreciate you guys for tuning in. I'll pass it off to if he has anything else to say.
Yeah, I'll just say once again, thank you, Vader, for coming on the show. Really appreciate it. We'll definitely get you back on during the season. With that being said, like Bryce said, episodes every Monday. So we'll see you guys next Monday. Peace.
All right. Peace.